2. As Frank climbed the stairs to the second floor of the tenement building, he could hear the door to his flat opening and then the clatter of a child's footsteps as his son ran down the hallway to the top of the stairs. His own step quickened as he hurried to meet the boy at the top of the steps. The instant Brian saw him, he launched himself into Frank's arms. Frank enclosed him in a bear hug, savoring the feel of his small, warm body. The boy was making inarticulate sounds of joy, but Frank didn't bother to respond. Brian wouldn't hear him. Brian couldn't hear anything at all. As Frank carried him up the last few steps, Brian pulled back and began making signs with his hands. He wanted to show Frank what he'd learned in deaf school. Frank recognized the signs for father, but the others were a mystery to him. Brian wasn't quite 4 years old, but he was learning the signs for words as quickly as a hearing boy would learn the words themselves. Frank's mother stood in the doorway of their flat, a small, round woman with a face like a dried-up potato. "I'll never understand how he knows when you're coming, but he always does. Runs to the window, he does, and starts dancing around and pulling me over to see," she reported, sourly. Nothing, it seemed, ever gave his mother pleasure, and as far as he could tell, she disapproved of everything. Her only redeeming quality was that she adored Brian and would have given her life to keep him safe. "How about it, boy?" Frank said to his son. "Do you have the second sight?" Brian grinned, having no idea what Frank had said, but happy for his attention. "Bite your tongue," his mother said, crossing herself, "and put him down. He can walk as well as you can, you know." Not long ago, Brian hadn't been able to walk at all until a surgeon Sarah Brandt knew had operated on his club foot. Sarah Brandt. He owed her so much. How could he stand by and let her father destroy her husband's reputation? "What did you learn in school today, Ma?" Frank asked slyly as he carried Brian into their flat. "Tell me what he's saying." Mrs. Malloy scowled at him as she closed the door behind them, but when Frank set his son down so he could take off his overcoat, he noticed she was doing something with her hands that looked suspiciously like signing. She put her palms together as if she were praying, then opened them up to lie flat beside each other. Whatever she'd said sent the boy scurrying off to his bedroom. "He's got a book to show you," she said. Frank hung his coat up on the rack. "What kind of book?" "Where did he get a book?" "At school. He got it for you." Before Frank could ask more, Brian came clumping back into the room, his specially built-up shoe making his steps sound slightly uneven. He carried a book which he proudly presented to his father. Frank looked at the title, "Sign Language for the Deaf." His heart felt odd in his chest, as if it had swelled or something. He opened the book and fanned through the pages. Inside were drawings of a person making signs. All kinds of signs, and the words for each were written underneath. "What's this?" he asked, his voice sounding thick because of the emotions clogging his throat. "What's it look like?" his mother asked him impatiently. "It's a book, so you can learn to make the signs and talk to Brian, too." Frank had to swallow a couple of times. "How did he get it?" he asked in amazement. Frank had never purchased a book before. He had no idea how much it would cost, but he knew it would be a lot. Where would he get the money? "Where would you get the money?" he added, since she would have had to give it to him. She made a derisive noise. "They wanted to pay me at that school. Can you imagine? All I do is look after the boy. He's too young to leave there alone all day, no matter what you think." Brian was pulling on his pant leg, demanding attention. Frank handed him the book, and he immediately plopped down on the floor and began looking through it. "I told you, you don't have to stay there with him all day," Frank said in exasperation. "There's teachers there to look after him. And they've got a room full of children to look after, too. What if Brian was to slip out? Who'd notice?" They'd had this argument before, so Frank gave up. He'd known his mother would have to accompany Brian to and from the school, since neither of them wanted him to board there. Frank had imagined she might enjoy having her days free while he was in school. But he'd been wrong. "What are you doing that made them want to pay you?" Frank asked suspiciously. He'd figured she'd been making a nuisance of herself, or at best, just sitting on a bench watching Brian all day. She shrugged. "Nothing to speak of. Helping out here and there. Supper's ready." She turned away and went into the kitchen. He followed her. "You aren't cleaning or anything, are you? Because I pay good money for Brian to go there and..."